Hello folks, I'm John Myrie and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen about getting more reactive strikes from fish on artificial lures. And then lastly, we're running an older talk I had with the Minnesota Grizz talking about the same thing. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Spring is the time to launch yourself up off the couch and get outside with a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side from Hayward Power Sports. Hurry in for a very limited number of select model 2023 side-by-sides that offer up to $3,000 in rebates, plus financing as low as 1.49% for 36 months. Want an example of a smoking hot deal on a 2023 side-by-side? Here it is. You could take home a Can-Am Commander DPS 700 for under $13,700. ATV lovers, the new 2024s are in stock and ready to hit the trails. Pick up a Can-Am Outlander with special financing as low as 1.49% for 36 months. Or you could take home a new 2024 Can-Am Outlander 700 DPS ATV for just $168 per month. Life is not a spectator sport. Start participating today with a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Certain restrictions apply. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Today, anglers fish longer. Today, anglers fish harder. Today, anglers rely more than ever on their electronics. It all comes down to catching more fish, and today, anglers rely on Amped Outdoors lithium batteries, period. Visit ampedoutdoors.com today to power your outdoor experience.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle after the opening weekend, and there was a lot of people up here, I think.
Absolutely, there were a lot of people up here, and you know, just looking at DNR sales or what have you, it seems like there are a lot more people out fishing this opener.
I had some kind of mixed reports on that, too. I mean, I went out for only Sunday, and we had our limit for two of us, you know, in a matter of no time at all. But I've heard reports where guys were catching quite a few fish and some weren't.
Yeah, we had the same thing here. We saw a whole bunch of really nice pictures coming in with guys getting some walleyes, guys getting some crappies. And then we had a whole handful of reports of, man, it was slow out there. So yeah, I guess it depends on where you were and what you were fishing for.
You know, the opening day was not a nice day to start with the rain, but that ended it later.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the rain cleared up around 2, 3 o'clock, and it gave guys a chance to get out and get to fishing, which was, you know, not horrible because, you know, your key times of the year when the light starts getting a little bit low for the walleyes, but yeah, Sunday was a beautiful day.
You know, and one thing I found last night was, you know, as I cleaned a couple of walleyes was that, you know, we were fishing minnows, and that's typically the go-to bait, but and these fish were packed with bugs. I mean, they were full of midges, little gnats midges.
Yeah, you know, we had such an early ice out this year, and it gave a lot of that bug life some time to, you know, start growing, start hatching. So, you know, all these fish that are out there right now, they've got a lot more options for food than they have in previous years with late ice outs.
Usually when you start to see that too, and it usually sending signals to me that it's a really good time to start pulling out the crawlers, because the crawlers are going to produce fish a lot of times when minnows will and won't, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we went through more minnows than we did crawlers this last weekend, but a lot of the guys that were getting walleyes out there, they were starting to get them on crawlers out there, but fatheads remain a great option.
What are you hearing for water temperatures? I know I saw 57 to almost, actually over 60 on the lake I was on.
So the couple reports that we got in, we heard high 40s on some of the bigger clear bodies of water. We heard a couple of low 50s. I was out myself yesterday, and, you know, it was a tale of two halves of the lake. On the west side of the lake, I had 52, 53, and on the east side, I had about 57. So, you know, it's kind of a job looking for warmer water out there.
You bet. You know, and the warmer water is the key factor a person really needs to focus in on, especially when you're looking for panfish, but for all fish. One or two or 3 degrees makes a huge difference.
It does, you know. From where I launched the boat, I hit 55, and, you know, you just drive, you know, 100 yards, and you drop into 52, 53 degrees, and, you know, that 100 yards or whatever could make a big difference about if you're finding fish or not.
You know, and basically a lot of the people are after the walleyes. A few people fishing panfish are usually around the opener. But the other thing, I know I had some really good reports actually before the opener on smallmouth bass fishing.
Yeah, we saw the same thing here. We saw some really nice pictures of some of the guys out fishing smallies over the weekend or what have you. But yeah, there were some guys getting them out there in a little bit deeper water, you know, waiting for those fish to move up onto those big flats to start feeding before they get ready to spawn. But yeah, saw some really nice fish coming in.
You know, and there'll be pre-spawn for a while yet. I don't know how soon the smallies will start coming into spawn. And the same thing with the crappies and the panfish. Even though the water temperature's getting up there, they still typically got to, there's more to it than the water temperature.
Yeah, yep. So, you know, smallies, usually we start seeing that usually around the 1st of June or what have you, and for a couple weeks after that. And there will be waves of all these fish that are coming up to spawn. It's not like everything comes up and does their thing right away. You know, you'll have fish up spawning actively. You'll have fish that are still stayed, and you'll have fish that are getting done. They're headed out to, you know, the first break line to feed. So there's a lot of opportunity. It's not like it all happens at once.
You know, and back to the walleye thing, too, is, you know, all the walleyes I caught on Sunday, I didn't get out Saturday. I had a couple other things I had to do. But all the walleyes I caught, we didn't catch not one milting male or small walleye. So I'm pretty sure that most of the walleyes are done spawning.
And that's kind of what we thought, too. You know, we had such an early spring, and I think they got it out of the way or what have you early. So a lot of those fish will be, you know, good to keep. You know, we got the spawning deal done. Don't have to worry about the next generation of pulling fish out. So we're all good.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more of the bigger walleyes that are up in skinnier water than people think, too, because all the stuff we had, we found most of the stuff in, you know, under 7-8 feet of water.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize at this time of year, you know, even though we're clear past the spawn, a lot of those walleyes will come up into like 2 or 3 feet of water at night to feed. And a lot of times if you're out there that late and you're kind of roaming the water with your flashlight or whatever, those two eyes on those walleyes, they stick out like a sore thumb. So good indicator on how shallow those fish are coming if you've got any kind of visibility in the water.
You know, you said that too. You know, I used to run around when I was back chasing muskies all the time. We'd run around at night a lot fishing muskies, and we'd run a lot of stuff with spotlights just looking to see what we saw. And it's amazing what you see out there at night looking in the water.
It's a completely different world out there at night. Yep.
Yeah. You know, and night fishing, mentioned that night fishing, you know, that's actually a very good option for the guys after walleyes, casting crankbaits just in the evening and even in first hour or two after dark. You get up along some of them shorelines where they spawn, and mentioned a lot of the bigger female walleyes might probably be up shallow yet. You get up along there and start casting crankbaits, you'd be surprised how many nice fish you catch here over real shallow weed flats.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we still got some cold water out there this time of year, so make sure you're working that that jerkbait or that crankbait nice and slow. Give it a nice long pause. Give those fish a chance to come up and grab it. But, yeah, I mean, if you're sitting, you know, 100 yards offshore, would have you making casts, long casts into shore so you're not spooking fish. It's a great way to catch fish with some really nice fish out there.
You know, and crappies, you'll find them up shallow on the right kind of day here, too. They'll move up with a nice sunny day and warm, but they're not ready to spawn yet, I don't think. But they're also spooky when you start approaching them.
Yeah, they really are, especially if you're in any kind of clear water. But, yeah, you know, as soon as we get up to the 60s, mid-60s, they'll start thinking about spawning with longer days here coming up. But a lot of those fish are going to start coming up. They're going to be sitting in some shallow weeds. They're going to be sitting in some shallow wood or what have you, just something that will retain the heat and give them cover and get away from stuff. That's coming up real fast, especially with the sunny day that we have out there right now.
You bet. You know, shift gears just a little bit. Turkey seasons are still going on as we're recording this, and I had some really good reports. It seems like there are a lot of birds out there.
Yeah, I'm seeing them. You know, every every day to and from work, seeing them in the neighborhood, seeing them out in the fields, strutting all over the place. So we're hearing the same thing in the shop. A lot of guys are getting their birds, seeing some really nice pictures. So good spring for it. Had a good winter for those birds to make it through.
Let's talk about shop here. I mean, you guys got an amazing selection of tackle in here. For bass fishing, you got a ton of stuff. You got it for walleyes, crappies, and musky stuff. It's just amazing how much stuff is in this shop.
Absolutely. We've got just about everything in here. If we don't have it, we'll order it for you. But, yeah, we're starting to see a lot of our custom musky stuff starting to roll in, so we'll be ready for opener on that. But, yeah, if you're fishing panfish, walleye, bass, northern, musky, we got it here.
And you got people in here that fish, whether it's bass or it's walleyes or panfish, a lot like you, panfish. Anybody's got want some tips or something, stop in.
Absolutely. We're here for you.
Thanks a lot, Jared, for taking the time with us here.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season, and if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The fishing opener is May 4th. Race to your favorite fishing hole in a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. We have an awesome selection, rigged and ready in our outdoor showroom. You'll find the 1650 Angler, the 1775 Impact, the 1875 Crossover, and many more. Buy one today and claim huge Hayward Power Sports discounts up to $7,500. Plus, we'll even include free storage for next winter. Come see us at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show was brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, another open water fishing season is now underway, and we've seen a lot of changes over all the years when it comes to the fishing. In fact, there's a lot of people out there nowadays that don't even use live bait. It's strictly been an artificial lure, but sometimes there's a little bit different technique in getting fish to strike a lure instead of live bait. On this week's show, I had a chance to talk on the phone to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Kyle Sorensen about getting those reactive strikes from fish. Kyle, good to have you on the show here again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on.
You know, Kyle, when it comes to fishing here, we'll be looking at May. A lot of people want to rely on live bait. They're trying to feed the fish something, getting the fish to eat something to get a bite. And there's another way of going about it, too, though, and that's trying to get a reaction strike, get the fish to respond to something, to snap at it, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a great alternative to the slower live bait mentality.
You know, and fish, you know, almost always, if sometimes it has to do with the strike window. You've got to be close enough to the fish to get it to respond. But if it's kind of in his face, that's where it really comes in. They'll snap at stuff. But, you know, it can be a wide range of lures out there that they do that with.
Yeah. And when you're talking reaction style baits, there's a lot of great points about them. One being that you cover more water than the live bait style. Whether you're ripping a plastic, casting a plastic out and ripping it in, or it's a jerk bait that you're casting, or fishing vertically with a jigging wrap or a blade bait or something like that.
Well, you know, that kind of whole thing, I think, kind of started with live bait, actually. There's a guy, I don't know if he's still guiding or no anymore, they call him the Minnesota Grizz, Dick Rosinski over in Minnesota. And I can remember back in the 80s, he'd be out there, we were up at Campfish guiding and stuff up there, he'd be up on a big Winnie up there, and he didn't run electric troll motor. He ran like a two-horse Johnson on the back of his boat, and he's got that thing revved up and going, and you get three guys in the boat, and they're fishing heavy jigs with metals, and they're snapping. I mean, they're snapping so hard, just jigging and covering a lot of water. And actually used to have a hat that says, "I survived the day with the Minnesota Grizz," but it was a real workout fishing. But that was the whole start of it, I think, when it came to it, as far as I know. But now it's progressed to where it's plastics and things like jigging wraps and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different way of fishing, but it's definitely a great technique.
What do you think the mistake people make that try it? I mean, it's something you have to kind of learn to do, because there's a little different presentation. If you take a jigging wrap, for instance, you can't just go out and you can once in a while, but sometimes you got to kind of vary what you do. Your shorter jigs are rips and they're slower, sometimes faster or taller, higher. What do you try to base that on?
Well, like you said, you know, it varies day to day, and you should always be testing different things and seeing what works. But one thing that I do, or that I tell people, is you should hear it. You know, you should hear the line go schwack. A lot of these jerk baits or a jigging wrap, you're going to hit it on the slack line, and you're trying to snap that bait or hop that bait really hard, really fast, and just kind of trigger those fish to think it's getting away, and they have to eat it now or never. And that's really the key, is moving it quickly. And like everybody, I grew up fishing live bait with jigs and dragging them along the bottom and lift your rod and drop your rod back down slowly. But this is a totally different way of doing it. And a lot of times, you know, you should hear those jig strokes. You should hear, you know, your line is singing through the air, and you should hear the snap.
Well, one of the mistakes I see a lot of people make, whether they're fishing plastics or fishing like a jigging wrap or that type of bait, is they'll snap it up and then they hold the pole up there. And what happens then is that bait shoots up off the bottom and then it kind of swims forward toward you. Whereas if you drop the rod tip back, it'll fall straight back down again, or it'll send a spiral going down. Totally different presentation, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say that there aren't times where you should pop your plastic up, maybe with a paddle tail. You pop it up, keep your rod tip up, and let it swim back towards you, slowly drop into bottom. Maybe the water is extremely cold or something. But when those fish are fired up and or even if they're very neutral, it can work both ways. You want to snap it up, drop your rod, and let it hit bottom. And a lot of times what they're going to do is either pin it to bottom, or they're going to hit it on the fall, or they're going to suck it off of the bottom. And when you go to rip again, that's actually going to turn into a hook set.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Walleyes are particularly good at that. They tend to just, you know, pin it right down. A lot of times you'll have them hooked right underneath the chin.
Yep, jigging wraps or hyper rattles or shiver minnows, they're all kind of famous for, you know, you'll get them right on the bottom of the chin or on the side of the face or you know, they're actually nosing down into the mud to try and pull that thing out, and then they get it right in the chin.
How about reaction from crankbaits? I mean, you know, you can get, you can work a crankbait. I mean, we've like lipless crankbaits for one, pretty much are a reactive strike, or you can jig those. I mean, Livingston makes one, what do they call it? Ripping, what's the name on that one?
I think it's called the Pro Ripper.
But then there's that, you know, you got the ripping wraps, and you got a bunch of different things out there too that are made to jig off the bottom. And then you've got some blade baits too that would do the same thing.
Yeah, blade baits are especially deadly in cold water. And I think that those have come out to be a lot more popular. They've been around for longer than I've been alive, but I think people have become more aware of how effective they are. And I would still call that a reaction style bait.
Well, yeah, the old sonar baits. I can remember when they first came out with the head and sonars, and down on the Mississippi River, below all the lock and dams, the guys are ripping them things off the bottom, and half the time they're snagging these fish because they're ripping them. The fish are coming in, and they're trying to attack it, but the bait goes up, and they wind up, you know, catching them underneath the jaw or any other place. So it's kind of the same effect you get from a jigging wrap, except it's a more of a straight up and down fall and a lot more wobble or vibration.
Exactly.
You know, one of my favorites there is that Rapala makes one, a really good blade bait, too.
Yep, I know Rapala's got a great one. Acme's got a real good one. But yeah, there's a ton of them out there.
You know, and there's a lot of different ways to catch fish, but you know, the reaction thing is something that is a way of catching fish. But there again, too, use your sonar because you want to be close to fish. If you can snap jig stuff all day long if you want. If you're not close enough to the fish or in the fish, you're not going to catch them. But the key is, I think you got to find the fish and literally look for the fish with your sonar. Get on the fish and get it right into the fish, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something to be said for doing your recon. You know, if you know a lake well enough that you know right where they're going to be, the more power to you. But a lot of times it's best to go around, use your side imaging or whatever else, and identify that there's some fish, drop a waypoint on them, and set your boat up in a position that is going to work well. Maybe it's upwind, maybe it's crosswind, and pitch into those fish where you know they're at. You stand a lot better chance of catching fish when you're around fish.
Yeah, you know, and you know, use your sonar, like I said. If you're not, if you don't feel confident that you could find fish with it, you know, take some time. There's a bunch of good videos on YouTube on how to get the most out of that sonar. Otherwise, you know, going out with one of the fishing guides, I teach a lot of people, and I know you do too, how to find fish, how to see things on your locator, how to run that stuff. Because, you know, I see a lot of people that struggle with the electronics just to, you know, other than finding how deep it is, they just don't seem to be able to catch or find the fish as well as some people do.
Oh, absolutely. There's a big difference between being able to afford the electronics and being able to use them. And that's, you know, that's part of the value in a guide trip, I think, that a lot of people don't realize. It's not all about just hammering the fish and having that one day of great success. It's about learning and maybe learning how to use your own electronics and how to implement it in the future.
Yeah, I got a great saying that I always ask people in the boat. I said, well, did you learn anything today? And invariably, the answer is always, absolutely always yes. And my response is good, because it wasn't worth paying me what you had to pay me to go out there fishing if you didn't learn something.
Right, absolutely.
Well, Kyle, if somebody's looking for a guide for you, I know you'll be guiding full-time this year. How do they get a hold of you?
The easiest way is to find my website. It's SorensenOutdoors.com. Otherwise, you can look me up on Facebook, Kyle Sorensen.
Okay, thanks. Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring the show to you every week. And when I come back, I'll be talking to Minnesota Grizz himself from an old interview that I had from several years ago. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Hey folks, the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach on Highway K between the Big Lakes has groceries, ice, beer, liquor, and pop, and now has all new tackle and bait supplies. All the current antiques and household items are now on sale and all must go to make room for the sport shop. That's at the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach between the Big Lakes.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. to book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, in the last segment of the show, talking to Kyle, I mentioned the Minnesota Grizz, Dick Grzynski, in an old interview I pulled up from several years ago, and we're running on this week's show talking about snap jigging or rip jigging.
Ran into a guy I've known for a while, see, I haven't seen him for a while, Dick Grzynski. And Dick, you're a guide walleyes over in Minnesota. Walleyes jig fishing is probably one of the most effective ways of catching fish, and there's a time when you can't hardly move it fast enough. You call it rip jigging, I think?
Yeah, I've done that for many, many years. Back in the early 60s, we started doing ripping jigs. And, well, you know, in other baits, too, ripping's a good thing. I mean, crank baits or whatever, you know, it's a thing that triggers a fish.
Yeah, they say speed kills when it comes to fish, and that bait is moving so quick, doesn't give them a decision. They got to make a decision quick.
Yep, it's either eat it or let it go, you know. So it's a thing that I stumbled over a long time ago, rip jigging, you know, and I use a quarter-ounce jig, and I have my Grizz jigs that I use myself, but you can use like a fireball, and you just slow the technique down because of the, you got a minnow on there, you know, you'll rip the minnow off. But with the rip jigging, I use no bait on there. Sometimes I do, but,
you know. How far do you snap it off the bottom?
Well, you're moving, so you don't know. I don't even feel for the bottom. That's the thing. I run 6 to 15 feet of water with a quarter-ounce jig, and I use the blank that I use, a 844 Loomis 7-foot rod with 8-pound test monofilament on it, and troll forward, and I snap it about a 3-foot snap and let it follow it back, and then snap it again, follow it back, and you take and you work the structure, you know, like if you got a weed line or a sandbar, get up on the top of it and you know, or the edge of it and run it down, you know, and well, if there's fish there, you'll trigger them.
Well, I think sometimes some guys with jigs, there's a time to work a jig slow, but a lot of guys tend to work a jig slow all the time.
Yeah, you gotta change with, you know, with whatever you're doing, I guess. It just, or time of year. Really, I can't say the time of year because I use it in the spring right all the way through in the fall. So
definitely worth trying because, in other words, basically if you're not getting fish jigging slow, speed it up.
That's right. You know, you got to keep trying different techniques. You'll stumble over it, you know. And a lot of people have tried rip jigging, but they don't stay with it long enough. And, you know, once you start getting fish, you get used to it. Well, you'll figure out the things that you're doing wrong, you know, and a lot of guys try it for a little bit and they quit. So they say it don't work, you know.
Just like musky baits, with big baits, it takes a while. It's a work at first, but then after you get used to it, your body kind of learns the easy way of doing it.
Yeah, you know, and you feel it. That's by running my rod and stuff, and you get the right speed down and all that stuff by using your equipment, you know, your rod, reel, and line that you're using, and, well, just like I say, if you start getting them, you're doing it right, you know, and don't give up on it. Keep trying.
As far as walleye location, you know, what's one of the first things you start looking for to find walleyes?
Well, it's structure for one thing, you know, like for rip jigging, I look for, you know, a long bars, you know, shallow 6 to 15 feet, and I work the structure there, or there again, I get a good weed line or even a weed bar because you're, like I say, you rip that jig, you know, you can. Well, if you hit a weed, you can usually rip it off and, you know, continue through there. I mean, there's structure is the key, you know, working structure.
And you're covering, but doing that allows you to cover a lot of area.
Yeah, you're covering, you know, like when I run on, like, Winnipegosh, let's say I run, well, big areas so I can keep moving down. You'll find the fish are in there feeding on minnows or whatever. They congregate in certain areas on the bar, you know, and, well, that's the way it is, you know.
Well, Dick, anybody's interested in your information, you want to get a day out on the water with the Grizz, where do they get hold of you?
Well, you can get a hold of me at my phone. It's area code 651-771-62.
Thanks a lot, Dick.
All right. Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.